Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin Underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen to Dear Felicity, presented by Walmart, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Zodiac Killer is one of the most terrifying, unidentified serial killers of the 20th century. He threatened the public and taunted police by sending letters filled with menacing demands and puzzles that law enforcement have been trying to solve for decades. Welcome to Killer Knowledge, a Parcast original. I'm Carter Roy, and it's time to learn some true crime history as two players go head-to-head in this 20-question trivia podcast. Every episode, we cover a new topic, like the headline-making Black Dahlia murder that shocked the nation, violent mobsters like John Gotti who gunned their way to the top, and serial killers like Ted Bundy who crave notoriety. This week, we're looking at the unsolved case of the Zodiac Killer. Joining me today to test their true crime expertise are Terrell, a sous chef from Houston, and Aaron from Cleveland. Aaron works in insurance. A fun fact about Aaron, she used to live above L&L Tavern in Chicago, a dive bar rumored to be a favorite of two serial killers, Jeffrey Dahmer and John Wayne Gacy. Terrell and Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hi, excited to be here.
Happy to be here.
Okay, now before we start, let's remind our listeners, you can play along with more episodes of Killer Knowledge and find other Parcast originals on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. We also want to hear from you, our listeners. Leave us a review wherever you're listening and reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and on Twitter at Parcast Network. Terrell and Aaron, let's lay out the rules of Killer Knowledge for you and our Parcast listeners. There will be 20 multiple choice questions, A, B, and C, broken up into three rounds. The questions will get more difficult as the game plays on. A correct answer earns you the point for that question. An incorrect answer gives the other player the chance to get it right. Terrell, if you buzz in first, we'll hear this sound. Aaron, your buzzer sounds like this. At the end of round two, one player will be eliminated, while the other will move on to play for some amazing prizes, including the Parcast Golden Headphones. Make sense to you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play Killer Knowledge. Here we go with round one. For the first round, the questions are about how the Zodiac killings first came to light. The Zodiac is the pseudonym of an unidentified serial killer who operated in the late 1960s, at least the cases that we know of. Question number one. In which state did the Zodiac killings take place? A. California. B. Washington. C. Oregon. Aaron.
A. California.
Correct. The Zodiac Killer murdered people in California, Northern California to be precise. The killings that were confirmed happened in Benicia, Vallejo, Napa County, and San Francisco. That makes the score. Aaron 1, Terrell nothing. Well, during the Zodiac's reign of terror, the killer sent letters to the press, claiming to have committed multiple murders. But law enforcement were only able to confirm the Zodiac's involvement in a handful of cases. Question number two. How many confirmed victims were there in the Zodiac killer case, including the ones who survived? A. 6. B. 7. C. 8. Aaron.
B. 7.
Correct. The answer is B. 7. The killer was officially linked to attacks on 4 men and 3 women between the ages of 16 and 29. 2 of the men survived. There were at least 10 other cases and multiple victims suspected to be linked to the Zodiac, but none of those have been confirmed. 2-0 for Aaron. Well, the first murders widely attributed to the Zodiac killer were the shootings of 2 high school students in the city of Benicia, California, on December 20, 1968. Question number 3. What were the names of the victims in the Benicia killings? A. Darlene Farron and Michael Maggio. B. Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd. C. Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday. Terrell.
C. Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday.
Correct. The answer is C. The first confirmed victims of the Zodiac killer were 16-year-old Betty Lou Jensen and 17-year-old David Faraday. The high schoolers were on a first date when they were shot to death at a well-known lover's lane. That makes the score Aaron 2, Terrell 1. Just over 6 months later, and just 4 miles away, the second confirmed murder linked to the Zodiac killer happened in Vallejo, California. It was the 4th of July, 1969. 22-year-old Darlene Farron and 19-year-old Michael Maggio were sitting in a car at Blue Rock Springs Park when someone shot them. The shooter was described as a white male, 26 to 30 years old. Question number 4. How did investigators get this description of the attacker? A. An officer stopped someone who looked like that nearby. B. It was provided by a witness at the park. C. It was provided by the victim, Michael Maggio. Terrell.
C. It was provided by a victim, Michael Maggio.
The correct answer is C. Michael Maggio described his attacker. He survived despite taking bullets in the face, neck, and chest. When describing the attacker, he also said he was heavy-set with curly brown hair. That makes the score 2-2. Well, the first piece of information linking the two shootings came within hours after Darlene Farron and Michael Maggio were shot. Question number 5. How did police first tie the Vallejo shootings to the Benicia shootings about 6 months earlier? A. Someone called the police claiming both attacks. B. Someone dropped off a letter at the local paper claiming both attacks. C. The same ammunition was used in both attacks. Terrell.
A. Someone called the police.
Correct. The answer is A. Vallejo police got a phone call just hours after the Vallejo shootings. According to the police dispatcher, the caller spoke in a low, monotonous voice and said, quote, "I also killed those kids last year. Goodbye." Police traced the call to a gas station about a quarter mile from the home of Darlene Farron, who had just been killed. Terrell 3, Aaron 2. Well, just a few weeks later, the letters started appearing. 3 nearly identical letters arrived at 3 Bay Area newspapers. Question number 6. Which of these newspapers were not among the 3 to receive the first letters from the Zodiac killer? A. Oakland Tribune. B. Vallejo Times Herald. C. San Francisco Examiner. Aaron.
A. The Oakland Tribune.
Correct. The answer is A. The Oakland Tribune was not among the papers to receive the first letters. The killer demanded that the Vallejo Times Herald, the San Francisco Examiner, and the Chronicle all publish the letters on their front pages or he would go on a, quote, kill rampage. That makes the score 3-3. The three letters were postmarked July 31st, 1969, and included part of a coded puzzle or cipher. The killer said solving the puzzle would reveal some key information. Question number 7. What did the writer say the puzzle would reveal? A. The location of his next kill. B. His identity. C. The name of his next intended victim. Aaron.
B. His identity?
Correct. The answer is B. The killer said solving the puzzle would reveal his identity. The Vallejo police chief said he wasn't convinced the letters came from the actual murderer, so he asked for another letter to prove his identity. Aaron 4, Terrell 3. The killer may have been puzzling investigators about his identity, but he did use a signature at the end of his letters. Too bad it didn't say anything about who he was. Question number 8. What did the Zodiac killer use as his signature in his letters? A. The Omega symbol with a line under it. B. A symbol resembling rifle crosshairs. C. A red smiley face. Terrell.
B. Rifle crosshairs.
That is correct. The answer is B. The letters were all signed with a crosshair symbol, made up of a cross with a circle around its center. It's not clear why the killer chose it. There's the obvious theory that firearms were the killer's weapon of choice. But one author suggested that the signature was lifted from the Swiss watch brand, Zodiac, that used a similar symbol on its watch faces. That makes the score 4-4. It wasn't long after that when the world had a name for whoever was writing these bizarre letters. Not his real name, of course, but the name Zodiac. Question number 9. How did the Zodiac killer get that name? A. The ciphers in his letters included Zodiac symbols. B. The killer gave himself the name in one of his letters. C. The killer said he chose his victims by their Zodiac signs. Aaron.
B. The killer gave himself the name.
Correct. The answer is B. On August 7th, 1969, the San Francisco Examiner got another letter that opened with, "This is the Zodiac speaking." This was the first time the killer had used this name to refer to himself. Aaron 5, Terrell 4. I'll remember how the Vallejo police chief wanted more proof that the letter writer was indeed the killer? Well, the Zodiac delivered. Question number 10 to finish out the round. What proof did the Zodiac give in his fourth letter that he was behind the Benicia and Vallejo attacks? A. Information about the murders that wasn't made public. B. A piece of Betty Lou Jensen's shirt. C. A lock of Darlene Farron's hair. Terrell.
A. Information that wasn't made public.
Correct. The answer is A. The killer included play-by-play details from both attacks. He explained how he was able to shoot his victims in the dark by taping a small pencil flashlight to the barrel of his gun. The killer also described the witness who reported seeing a brown car near the phone booth where the killer called police after the 4th of July killings. That brings us to the halfway mark. At the end of round one, the score is 5-5. And we're now in the summer of 69, and there's a mysterious killer on the loose, taunting police and striking fear across Northern California. When we come back, the trivia gets more difficult in round two as investigators get their first break in the case. But was it enough to nab the man known as Zodiac? Plus, one of our players will be eliminated from the game.
Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen to Dear Felicity, presented by Walmart, on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
New year, new credit scores. Chime makes it easier to build credit using your own money and on-time payments with the secure Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card. Use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. To apply, just open a Chime checking account with a qualifying direct deposit. There's no annual fee or credit check required when applying. Get started at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary.
Welcome back. You're listening to Killer Knowledge. I'm Carter Roy. Terrell and Aaron are here competing in our trivia podcast to see who's the real true crime expert. This week, we're looking into the case of the Zodiac Killer, who has eluded police until this day. The score is 5-5. And before we get into round two, let's get a little rules update. The questions are still multiple choice, A, B, and C, worth 1 point each. However, there's a twist in this round called the killer question. That question is worth 3 points because there are no multiple choice options. You either know the answer or you don't. And one player will be eliminated at the end of this round. Ready to keep playing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Your next questions will cover more killings, more clues, and the desperate attempts to crack the Zodiac's code. Here we go with round two. It's been over a month since the latest Zodiac killing. Expert and amateur cryptographers alike had been scrambling to crack the code in the killer's first three letters. Then, on August 18th, 1969, comes a break in the case. A husband and wife from Salinas, California, deciphered the killer's coded message. Question number 11. Finish the first sentence in the message. Quote, I like killing people. A, to collect slaves. B, more than hunting animals. C, because it is so much fun. Terrell.
A, to collect slaves.
That is incorrect. Aaron.
C, because it is so much fun.
Correct. The answer is C. The message started off with, I like killing people because it is so much fun. The puzzle was made up of 408 symbols. All but the last 18 were decoded. Despite the promise to reveal his identity, the killer said in his coded message that he would not give that away, because it would slow down his collecting slaves for the afterlife. The score is Aaron 6, Terrell 5. The growing panic was fueled by news of yet another attack, this time in Napa County, California, about 50 miles north of the first two killings. On September 27, 1969, two college students having a picnic on Lake Berryessa were stabbed repeatedly. The victims were able to provide a description of the attacker before one of them died at the hospital. Question number 12. What was the attacker wearing to disguise his face? A, a dark hood and sunglasses. B, a red ski mask and baseball hat. C, a white bandana. Terrell.
A, a dark hood and sunglasses.
Correct. The answer is A, a dark hood and sunglasses. The attacker covered his head with some kind of black executioner's hood that went down nearly to his waist. The hood had slits cut for his eyes, which were covered with clip-on sunglasses. On the chest of the costume was a white circle with a cross over it. After the stabbing, the attacker hiked up to the male victim's car and drew the Zodiac symbol on the door. He also wrote three dates under it for the first, second, and his latest attack. Then, just like the Vallejo killing, the killer used a payphone to call and report what he did to law enforcement. That makes the score 6-6. Now, the Zodiac is now linked to three attacks, with six victims, four of whom died. 2 weeks later, the killing and the taunting continued. October 11, 1969, a 28-year-old taxi driver picked up a fare and drove him to the affluent Presidio Heights neighborhood in San Francisco, before the driver was brutally shot in the head. The passenger took the driver's wallet and keys, wiped down the cab, and walked away. Police officers two blocks away actually saw the killer but didn't arrest him. Question number 13. Why didn't officers arrest the gunman when they spotted him? A. The murder hadn't been reported yet. B. He pretended to be a witness reporting the crime. C. He didn't match the description the officers had. Aaron.
C. He didn't match the description the officers had?
Correct. The answer is C. The officers had the wrong description. Yes, they knew about the attack right away. Three teenagers witnessed it and called police as the crime was in progress. The teens described a white male attacker, but somehow the dispatcher alerted officers to be on the lookout for a black suspect. It's still not clear what caused the mix-up. The score is Aaron 7, Terrell 6. And that sound means it's time for the killer question. Remember, this is not multiple choice. You either know the answer or you don't, and this question is worth 3 points. So, buzz in if you know the answer. At first, the killing of the taxi driver in San Francisco was considered a robbery gone awry. Until another letter from the Zodiac arrived at the San Francisco Chronicle. It began with the words, "I am the murderer of the taxi driver." Question number 14, the killer question. Besides the letter, what else did the killer put in the envelope to prove he killed the taxi driver? Aaron.
Was it a bloody shirt?
Correct. The envelope contained a blood-stained piece of the victim's shirt. The killer also took the horror to new heights by threatening to kill children on a school bus. He wrote, "Just shoot out the front tire and then pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out." By getting the killer question, Aaron now has 10, Terrell 6. The taxi driver murder in October 1969 was the last confirmed kill by the Zodiac. But the communications continued. A week later, someone claiming to be the Zodiac called the Oakland Police Department and demanded to talk to one of two prominent lawyers. Question number 15. How did the caller want to communicate with the lawyer? A. On a local TV morning show. B. Meet in person at a set time and place. C. On the phone. Terrell.
A. On a local TV morning show.
Correct. The answer is A. The caller wanted F. Lee Bailey or Melvin Belli to appear with him on the morning newscast on KGO-TV. Viewers were riveted when a man who called himself Sam finally called in. When asked why he wanted to speak with a lawyer, the caller said, "I don't want to be hurt." Efforts to trace the call failed. The lawyer, Melvin Belli, agreed to meet with Sam, but the suspect never showed up. The score is 10-7 for Aaron. Meanwhile, the creepy letters kept coming. In the next 2 months, the Chronicle received a card with another cryptogram with 340 characters. It has never been definitively decoded that we know of. Another 7-page letter mocked the police officers who overlooked him after the San Francisco murder. Then, lawyer Melvin Belli got a letter asking for help and another piece of the taxi driver's shirt. Things went quiet for a few months until March 1970 in California's Central Valley. Pregnant 22-year-old Kathleen Johns was driving with her 10-month-old baby in Modesto when a man pulled up alongside her and signaled her to pull over. Question number 16. Why did the stranger tell Kathleen Johns she needed to stop driving? A. She had a flat tire. B. She had a loose tire. C. Her back bumper was hanging from the car. Terrell.
B. She had a loose tire.
Correct. The answer is B. The driver offered to tighten the lug nuts of her back wheel, but instead, it seems he loosened them. Kathleen's tire fell off as she tried to drive away, and the man then offered to take her to a gas station. Of course, that's not what he did. He drove Kathleen on back roads for up to 2 hours until she was finally able to jump out with her baby, run, and hide. The strange man eventually drove away. The score is Aaron 10, Terrell 8. Kathleen Johns hitched a ride to a police station to report what happened. That's when investigators tied her case to the Zodiac investigation. Question number 17. Why did police link Kathleen Johns' abduction to the Zodiac murders? A. Her kidnapper told her he was the Zodiac. B. She saw a police sketch of the Zodiac and identified him. C. Her kidnapper gave her a letter signed the Zodiac. Aaron.
A. Her kidnapper told her?
That is incorrect. Terrell.
B. She saw a police sketch.
Correct. The answer is B. Kathleen Johns happened to see the sketch from the San Francisco taxi driver murder and recognized him. Months later, a Zodiac letter claimed he was responsible for the Kathleen Johns kidnapping, but police were not able to confirm it. And with that question, we have come to the end of round two with the score Aaron 10, Terrell 9. Unfortunately, that means we do have to say goodbye to Terrell. You brought so much killer knowledge to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, the Zodiac letters become even more bizarre with threats of mass violence and demands for more attention. Erin will test her killer knowledge to try and win some amazing prizes, including the coveted Parcast Golden Headphones.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Killer Knowledge. I'm Carter Roy. We've been quizzing Terrell and Aaron about the Zodiac Killer. With three questions left, it's time to cover the final letters and other crimes linked to the Zodiac. Now, Terrell was eliminated from the game after scoring 9 points in the first two rounds. Aaron scored 10, so only she will be answering the questions in round three for a chance to win some amazing prizes. Now, this time, points don't matter, but right answers do. Here are the rules. There are three multiple-choice questions, each with two answer options, A or B, so you'll have a 50-50 shot. Each correct answer is worth an amazing prize. Get one answer right, and you'll get a Spotify premium account free for 1 year. If you get two questions right, you win a role in an episode of the Parcast original, Unsolved Murders, hosted by me. And if you get all three questions right in this round, you'll win the exclusive Parcast Golden Headphones and the chance to come back for one of our best of shows to compete against other Killer Knowledge champions. Aaron, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go with round three. The San Francisco taxi driver killing was the last confirmed attack by the Zodiac Killer, but his letters and cards continued to come in. In April 1970, the Chronicle received two letters from the Zodiac. In one, he included a new cipher and threatened to bomb a school bus. In the second one, he demanded recognition from people across the San Francisco Bay Area. Question number 18. What did the letter writer insist people do to recognize him? A. Wear a black ribbon pinned to their clothes. B. Wear a button with a zodiac symbol.
B. Wear a zodiac button.
Correct. The answer is B. Wear buttons. In the letter, the zodiac said it would, quote, cheer me up considerably. A couple of letters that came a few months later complained that people weren't wearing his buttons. Well, that means that you have one Spotify Premium free for a year, and you can still win a role on Unsolved Murders and the Parcast Golden Headphones. In October 1970, a letter arrived at the Chronicle, this one addressed to one reporter in particular. The reporter received a letter again in March 1971. Question number 19. What was the name of the San Francisco journalist who received threatening letters from the Zodiac? A. Paul Avery. B. Jim Dunbar.
A. Paul Avery.
Correct. The answer is A. Paul Avery, who was the crime reporter at the Chronicle. Avery is the one who revealed that there may be a connection between the Zodiac and a murder in Southern California as far back as 1966. When Avery received the threatening Zodiac letters, his colleagues at the Chronicle started wearing buttons that read, I am not Paul Avery. Paul Avery wore one too. You have one Spotify Premium free for a year and a role on Unsolved Murders, and you could still win the Parcast Golden Headphones if you get this question right, because we are down to the final question of this episode. The 1966 murder we just mentioned in Riverside, California, was not the only case in Southern California that was linked to the Zodiac, but never proven. In 1963, two people were found shot to death on a beach. Just like the Lake Berryessa, Benicia, and Vallejo cases that came years later, the victims were a young couple. And the ammunition used was the same as used in the Benicia murders. Question number 20. Where in Southern California did the 1963 murders take place? A. Ventura County. B. Santa Barbara County.
A. Ventura County.
That is incorrect. The correct answer is Santa Barbara County. But you have won Spotify Premium free for a year and a role on Unsolved Murders. Congratulations, Aaron.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Thank you, Aaron and Terrell, both for being here. Now, the Zodiac letters kept coming on and off until 1974, at least the ones that were verified. A letter with the Zodiac symbol even arrived at a newspaper in upstate New York. There was plenty of speculation from the public about who the killer was, but there was only ever one named suspect, Arthur Lee Allen. Investigators only had circumstantial evidence against Allen, and he was never charged in the Zodiac case. He died of a heart attack in 1992. In all, the Zodiac killer claimed to have been behind 37 grisly murders, taking credit for several unsolved killings. But if he was bluffing, he simply muddled his own legacy, creating a grand mystery full of questions about who he was and what he actually did. To everyone listening, thank you for playing Killer Knowledge with us. Let us know what you thought about today's episode by leaving a review wherever you're listening and by reaching out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. You can listen to more episodes of Killer Knowledge and other Parcast originals on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Killer Knowledge was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, produced by Kristen Acevedo, Gitu Mera, and Jonathan Ratliff. Sound designed by Paul Liebeskind. I'm Carter Roy. Come back next week to hear who will become the next true crime expert.